I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, beginning with verse 13 through chapter 5, verse 1. But just as we have the same spirit of faith that is in accordance with Scripture, I believed and so I spoke, we also believe and so we speak, because we know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will bring us with you into His presence. Yes, everything is for your sake, so that grace, as it extends to more and more people, may increase thanksgiving to the glory of God. So we do not lose heart. Even though our outer nature is wasting away, our inner nature is being renewed day by day. For this slight momentary affliction is preparing us for an eternal weight of glory beyond all measure. Because we look not at what can be seen, but at what cannot be seen. For what can be seen is temporary, but what cannot be seen is eternal. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. May the Lord add His blessing to this reading of His Word.
Thank you, Jim. In this scripture, we hear about that which is temporary and that which is eternal. I think we all know there is the seen and the unseen, or perhaps another way to put it, the spiritual and the earthly. What we should never say as Christians, I believe, is the real and the unreal, because spiritual things are very real. Here's some examples. And I'm going to pick on a few people here. Jack, I'm going to put you on the spot. Do you love Joan? Please say yes. You do. Could you just take your love out and show it to us so we can see it? Don't believe so. Bob Talent, faith. Do you have faith?
Yes.
Well, take it out here and let us see it. One of those unseen things. Well, maybe hope. Johnny, do you have hope? Can you show us that hope? No. But they're very real, aren't they? Love is very real. We know that. We know that hope is very real. We know that faith is very real. But it's not something that we can see, but something we know about. In Matthew 16, 22 through 24, we read, "And Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, 'God forbid, Lord, this shall never happen to you.' But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are not on the side of God, but of men.'" In other words, you're not seeing the eternal. That's God. You're not seeing the big picture. You're just seeing what's in front of you, and that's earthly. Jesus gave us a lot of examples about looking for the eternal as opposed to looking at that which is temporary. When we do not look for the spiritual things, that is, the things of God, we are a hindrance to God's work. It is in looking for what we cannot see that we find the things of God. Remember these words from Paul. This is 1 Corinthians 13, 12 and 13. "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall understand fully, even as I have been fully understood. So faith, hope, love abide, these three. But the greatest of these is love." Are any of these three things we can see? Jesus tells us we should look beyond the earthly, beyond the skin. Do you believe this? Do you believe you can look beyond the skin? When you look at another person, can you actually see beyond the exterior of that person? Did Jesus choose to heal those that others would reject? Did Jesus choose to be with those others would reject? Did Jesus choose those to follow him that others would reject? He certainly did. You know why? Because he looked beyond the skin, into the hearts and minds of individuals. And yes, that even means Judas. Judas served a purpose. Jesus knew his heart and chose him. I dare say there are those of us here today, of us, that if we had to be elected, chosen by human beings to be a Christian, we would not be chosen. But there is not one of us that Jesus would not have chosen, because Christ sees our potential. During a practice session for the Green Bay Packers, and some of you not so young members will remember these days. That was rather delicate, wasn't it? During a practice session for the Green Bay Packers, things were not going well for Vince Lombardi's team. Lombardi singled out one big guard for his failure to put out. It was a hot, muggy day when the coach called his guard aside and leveled his awesome vocal guns on him, as only Lombardi could do. "Son, you are a lousy football player. You're not blocking, you're not tackling, you're not putting out. As a matter of fact, it's all over for you today. Go take a shower." The big guard dropped his head and walked into the dressing room. 45 minutes later, when Lombardi walked in, he saw the big guard sitting in front of his locker, still wearing his uniform. His head was bowed and he was sobbing. Vince Lombardi, ever the changeable but always the compassionate warrior, did something of an about-face that was so also typical of him. He walked over to his football player and put his arm around his shoulder. "Son," he said, "I told you the truth. You are a lousy football player. You're not blocking, you're not tackling, you're not putting out. However, in all fairness to you, I should have finished the story. Inside of you, son, there is a great football player, and I'm going to stick by your side until the great football player inside of you has a chance to come out and assert himself." With these words, Jerry Kramer straightened up and felt a great deal better. As a matter of fact, he felt so much better, he went on to become one of the all-time greats in football and was recently voted the all-time guard in the first 50 years of professional football. That's looking beyond the skin. Vince Lombardi did it. "I can see in you there's potential. I can see that you're great. When you were out on the field, you weren't so great, but I know it's in you to be great." And that's what Jesus did. He chose people to follow him. He chose people to help, not because of what he saw on the outside, because if he went by that, he probably never would have chosen them, but what he knew was on the inside. In John 20, 28 and 29, we read, "Thomas answered him, 'My Lord and my God.' Jesus said to him, 'Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe.' How can we see spiritual things? Not with our eyes, but with our hearts." And here's the thing. People do it every day, right in front of us, yet many of us do not perceive how they do it. How do they see that potential? Consider this. Have you seen hope, faith, or love based on personal experience? Which, by the way, experience cannot be seen. Yet we all have experiences. Perhaps this will help us to see how experience can help us to see into the hearts of others, how we may demonstrate faith and hope. A young employee secretly misappropriated several hundred dollars of his business firm's money. When this action was discovered, the young man was told to report to the office of the senior partner of the firm. As he walked up the stairs toward the administrative office, the young employee was heavy-hearted. He knew without a doubt he would lose his position with the firm. He also feared the possibility of legal action taken against him. Seemingly, his whole world had collapsed. Upon his arrival in the office of the senior executive, the young man was questioned about the whole affair. He was asked if the allegations were true, and he answered in the affirmative. Then the executive surprisingly asked this question: "If I keep you in your present capacity, can I trust you in the future?" The young worker brightened up and said, "Yes, sir, you surely can. I've learned my lesson." The executive responded, "I'm not going to press charges, and you can continue in your present responsibility." The employer concluded the conversation with his younger employee by saying, "I think you ought to know, however, that you are the second man in this firm who succumbed to temptation and was shown leniency. I was the first. What you have done, I did. The mercy you are receiving, I received. It is only the grace of God that can keep us both." Based on his experience, he knew that the right thing to do was to give this young man a second chance, to go beyond outward appearances. Faith and hope certainly may be seen with the heart. As for love, different game. It can be seen with the heart, but it can also be seen in other ways it manifests itself. A tyrannical husband demanded that his wife conform to rigid standards of his choosing. She was to do certain things for him as a wife, mother, and homemaker. In time, she came to hate her husband as much as she hated his list of rules and regulations. Then one day he died, mercifully, as far as she was concerned. Sometime later, she fell in love with another man and married him. She and her new husband lived on a perpetual honeymoon. Joyfully, she devoted herself to his happiness and welfare. One day, she ran across one of the sheets of do's and don'ts her first husband had written for her. To her amazement, she found that she was doing for her second husband all the things that her first husband had demanded of her, even though her new husband had never once suggested them. She did them as an expression of her love for him and her desire to please him. Do you believe that? Do you believe we can see love through expression of the same? Do parents express their love for their children in ways that we can see? Do couples express their love for each other in ways that can be seen? Once again, we cannot actually see love, but we can see expressions, manifestations of love. Now, have you noticed that which we can see does not last, and that which we cannot see does? When a parent dies, does their love for you die? No. Or do you feel that love after they're gone? My dad has been dead 20 years, and I still feel the love for my dad and his love for me. When a spouse dies, does their love die, or does the surviving spouse feel it after they're gone? That's why we have grieving. That love goes on. That's eternal things. That's the things that Jesus was trying to get across to us. There are eternal things, the things that never die. And that's what Paul's talking about when he says these earthly vessels, this earthly shell will pass, but not what's in it, not the spirit. Have you heard of people grieving the loss of a loved one? Which is a manifestation. It is an expression of their love and having been loved. very important. Perhaps you've heard this before, Matthew 26, verses 26 through 29. Now as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body given for you." Likewise, he took the cup, and after blessing it, he said, "Drink ye all of this, for this is the blood of the new covenant shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin." An expression of love. A manifestation of the love that Jesus has for all of us. I'm dying so that you can live, so that you can have life abundantly. I'm giving up this earthly shell so that which lives eternal can live with you. What an amazing thing. Leaving us something eternal. That's how we can see it. We see it in the actions of God every day. And we saw it in the actions of his Son, his only Son, who came and gave his life that we may have life eternal. So it doesn't stop. And that's what Paul tells us in this scripture. You know what? This isn't going to end. You may think it's going to end, but it's not going to end. The fact is, there are those eternal things that we're headed for. So he says, "For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." Do you believe that? I do. Eternal versus temporary. We can look around this room and see a lot of temporary things. But what's eternal is living inside of us. What's eternal is of God. Let us pray. Gracious God, coming before you this day, we oftentimes forget about the eternal things, and oftentimes we just want to look at people and judge them by what we see. Yet we know that you're looking into the hearts and minds of each and every one of us, and we give you praise and thanks for that. For what others may see as unworthy, you see as worthy. What others may see as worthless, you find worth. Continue to be with us. Continue to fill us with your love. Continue to make us better people, for we know we're works in progress. Regardless of age, you're constantly working on us. And we give you thanks and praise once again. Amen. We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.